said today's topic is going to be care of the body on Shabbos, which would include oils and creams and toothpaste and all those type of things. Let's see what we're going to learn. So we know that memareach is smoothing something out, something which you have put on a surface and you smooth it out. It's also to do on Shabbos. The example is given in Halacha is a vessel that gets a hole in it and you take some wax and put it up over the hole and you smooth it into place. Is considered asur, but it doesn't apply only to a vessel, it applies also on the body. And therefore, basically speaking, all creams, applying any cream on the body anyway, would be a problem of memareach on Shabbos. So, number one, we'll start, no using creams. We'll see some exceptions in certain cases, but generally speaking, no using creams on Shabbos. Or, for that matter, any oil which is considered very thick and needs to be smeared is also with Zera Otu creams, therefore we don't use thick oils either. Using regular oils is a separate question, is that in the olden days, people put oil on their bodies as part of getting dressed in the morning, just like we put deodorant on and things like that. But today we don't do such things. The only time people put oil onto their bodies is for refuah. And therefore in halacha we look at the idea of putting oil onto the body as refuah, and therefore falls onto those rules. It will only be mutter in cases of Kodesh and Sakana, etc. And generally speaking, for some use will be no good. So therefore we start off that using creams on Shabbos is a problem, no using of thick oils, and even something edible to smear onto the body would also be a problem. If you have chapped lips, you can't take margarine and then smear it on your lips. That also is problematic. So what do you do when you have a kid who has a diaper rash? So number one, use talc, use powder. Now there's no problem of applying on Shabbos, there's no creaming in, there's nothing like that, there's no problem. And therefore, number one, use powder. If you don't have powder, it's not strong enough, it's not good enough, or you need to use something else, so you can use baby oil. It must be oil that is made for babies, and therefore it's normal to put onto babies. The babies, remember, are always treated as a Chodesh and Besakana, so something which is also midrabbanan, we don't allow it on our babies. And therefore, we use oil, but oil that's baby oil, not stem oil. And if that's still no good, then the last option would be to apply the paste or the cream, but not to smear it in. You can put it on the skin, or you put it onto the diaper, and then you put the diaper on, and what happens after that is none of our concern. And therefore, if it gets smeared in as a result of the child's movement, that's absolutely not a problem, and we don't have to worry. Now, the problem is when the cream can be dispensed in different ways. If it's dispensed in a tube, so you squeeze the tube, the cream comes out, and then you can just dab it onto the skin. But if the cream is dispensed in a container, usually you need to put your finger in and take a whole bunch and then smear it off. So that's a bit of a problem with Shabbos, so preferably to use a spoon or a ladle or a wooden spatula or something like that, some sort of utensil to get the cream out of the container and then apply it to the skin without rubbing it in or apply it to the diaper. To put oil on a baby's skin is permitted on Shabbos, but you have to be careful that oil is something that can be absorbed in material and then can be squeezed out. Therefore, if you normally pour the oil into a piece of cotton wool and then use the cotton wool to dab it onto the child, there'll be a problem on Shabbos because that is schita, that is squeezing, and putting the oil onto the cotton wool. And sweeping the cotton wool is a problem on Shabbos, and we don't want to do that. Therefore, you have to apply the oil directly onto the skin of the child. If in order to move the oil around along the skin, you don't want to use your fingers. You want to use a piece of cotton wool. So that you can do. You can use a piece of cotton wool to then move the oil around that's already on the skin. Just don't put the oil on the cotton wool and then apply it to the baby, but rather apply it to the baby, use the cotton wool, and then obviously to do it in a very light manner without putting any pressure so that there won't be liquid absorbed in the cotton wool and then squeezed out with the pressure. You just talking about cotton wool. Cotton wool is a problem that if you have a big ball or container of cotton wool to break off a small piece, we don't allow them on Shabbos. And therefore, if you know you're going to be using cotton wool, either you buy the pre-cut balls or you pre-cut a piece before Shabbos. Applying talc or any sort of powder on a baby on Shabbos is not a problem, even if it is medicated powder that heals and does all sorts of things. Nevertheless, for a baby, it is permitted. However, when it comes to an adult, it's not so simple. Therefore, if a person perspires excessively and is worried about too much perspiration, so they may use talc, which absorbs the excess humidity. But you have to be careful to use regular talc, which is just a powder. And the powder is made of a very absorbent material that would then just absorb the excess wetness, but not something that comes with all sorts of chemicals inside that would then help to heal something or other that would actually refer. Because the refer on an adult would be generally also, unless a person's trying to shakhoile. But we're not talking about a chayle, we're talking about someone who perspires excessively, and therefore to use powder would only be permitted if it was done with simple, plain, straight talc and not anything with any additions. The chayle, today they have talc which has aloe vera added to it, that probably also would be problematic. Aloe vera is put in order to add moisture to skin. Using sprays are permitted on Shabbos if it is applied to the skin, meaning not applied to clothing, because we have a prohibition on Shabbos called moilid reah, creating smell in something. To create smell in something is a derabanan, but we don't do it. There's discussion whether you can do it into something edible, and therefore, if it was done purposely purely for the sake of smell. So generally in the kitchen, we don't say you can't put spices into your food, even though it gives a good smell to it, because that's for eating purposes. But the discussion comes up, in Chutzlaretz in particular, where duchening was only done on Yom Tov. So as because it was a rarity and special, so they did was, they added perfume into the water that was used to wash the Kohen's hands. And that comes the question whether it is permissible on Shabbos because you're adding your moilid reah into the water. So water essentially is something drinkable. So it could be considered as food. But on the other hand, in this particular case, you're not using the water to drink, you want it to wash. And therefore, it's a discussion and it is recommended not to do. You can put perfume directly onto the body. That's not a problem. It's not considered moilid reah. But we avoid putting it into water. And for sure, we don't put it onto clothing. One of the examples brought is if you have a nice smelling esrog, don't put it into your pocket, because you're going to make your pocket smell of esrogim. And therefore, you can't put an esrog into a cloth that has no smell. If you wrapped your esrog into a cloth before Shabbos, and now that cloth already has absorbed the nice smell of the esrog, so you took it out on Shabbos, you can put it back again, or Shabbos or Yom Tov, whatever the case may be. But to put it in for the first time would be awesome. So too, the same thing comes when using deodorant or perfume or any other form of application that includes with it something that is pleasant smelling. You have to be careful that it goes directly onto the body and not onto any clothing. Now, once we mentioned, say, using your sprays and those type of things, so a spray is not a problem to be used in Shabbos on the body. And also, you can use any form of deodorizer as long as it does not involve miruach, which is smearing. Therefore, there's basically three forms that I know of out there in the market. There's spray, there's roll-on as a stick. So the spray and the roll-on, no problem. The roll-on is application of the liquid. They use the ball, the roll ball at the top just to apply the liquid in a controlled manner. There's no miruach going on over there, but it's a stick, smearing it, and that is a problem of using the deodorant and traps. So therefore, also it applies the same thing if you have insect repellent, mosquito repellent, the dye tush against mosquitoes that comes in different applications. If it comes in a spray applicator, or it comes in, doesn't matter whether it's a pump form of spray or whether it's a pressurized can, make a difference. Spray is spray and it's mutter, and roll-on would also do. If you have these anti-bug mosquito repellents, then you may use them on Shabbos. To spray at a mosquito in itself is awesome. That is not allowed on Shabbos. That you're not to do. In a different place we've discussed, if you have an infestation of ants, what you can do, you can spray in a place where the ants aren't to stop them crossing that line, but you can't spray on them and cause them and kill them. Now, all sorts of wet tissues, wet wipes, wet cloths, and all the rest have a problem of schita. When a material that's absorbent has a liquid inside, and now you use it, so through the application of force, you're going to cause some of the liquid to be expelled from the item that you are using, and there will be a problem of schita on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. So even if you want to take a tissue and wet it slightly and dab something clean, you have to be very careful that there's no excessive water and you don't damp with pressure, etc., etc., because you don't want to squeeze. But there are those who are more maker when things are made of paper rather than made of material. And also it depends on how much liquid there is inside and how hard you press. And therefore, the whole subject of using wet wipes to diaper a child is a big machlokes. And it's easy to say, just don't use the machmir, but some people feel that that is a gzerish ha'enat tibur yocholamon boy. How do you diaper a kid if you can't use wet wipes? So someone who wants lessons on how to do it, I refer them to my mother, who managed to bring up all five of us without using wet wipes. But there are ways and means. Today they also make sprays. Spray the child with solution that comes in the wet wipe and a dry tube afterwards. There are ways and means. It is not simple and it's not easy, and you know, people complain, and therefore they make Shabbos wet wipes. Now, I don't know exactly what they've done to make them Shabbos wet wipes. I haven't gone and checked it, but I see they sell them, so they come with a hechsher on it. So I imagine the point is that A, they make them out of, make sure they make that paper source and a material source, because a lot of the wet wipes need to be strong if they don't rip, otherwise then they're useless. And not from a Shabbos point of view. From a Shabbos point of view, if it rips, if the person uses toilet paper or a tissue, then it rips. So it rips. Well, not to you, well, not your kavana. It's a double shaped scavenge. It doesn't always happen, and maybe you don't have to worry about it ripping when you use it. Same thing if you use a napkin, a tissue, or something, or dry your hand up a towel. All those cases we said if it rips, it rips. Look. But you don't want it to rip, so therefore they make it from a very strong material. And that's why you ask any plumber and he'll tell you, do not throw your wet wipes down the toilets, because they are going to block up the pipes, but they don't disintegrate very well, because they do have some synthetic fibers inside it to give it some strength and binding and don't break apart while usage. Which makes actually a difference between what they sell as baby wet wipes or as adult wipes. Baby wet wipes are a lot stronger and make a mix of polyester fibers, whereas the adult wipes, when they say on the bag that they can be thrown to the lavatory, it's because they're made of a much more breakdown consistency, and therefore with a flush or two breakdown, it was a block. Some people are so careful, okay, that you can discuss with your plumber. When it comes to Shabbos, so A, if it's made of a paper source material, not other type of material, it would be a tzad to make kill. B, if you limit the amount of liquid inside, I imagine that the Shabbos ones are not as wet as the regular ones. Therefore, the chance of applying pressure and liquid coming out of it are much smaller. And probably, I didn't read it, probably on the bag, it probably said, use gently, do not put pressure. Once you have those three conditions in place, so then it will be a lot easier to be makel to allow someone a wet wipe on Shabbos. So again, it's a big machlokes. I think every single Shabbos book goes to town on this particular subject. It's the big subject to speak about, which in Shabbos, about Ruby, it's 39 malachos. Everybody's got it. There's no one line. It's all a discussion. And obviously the simplest is to avoid it in Gansin, but that is very easy for the husband to say and for the wives to take on. And therefore, we should know that there is place to be makel. As we said, if you use the ones that are made for Shabbos, so then you were already taken into account that they've minimized the liquid and chosen the right material. And then it's up to us as parents, when we use them, to be careful not to squeeze them and not to put pressure. Legabe, brushing teeth. Brushing teeth, essentially comes with three problems, let's say. Number one, if your gums are going to bleed. So then again, we're going to have to deal with this as is it a secretion? Is it not a shameless cover? A person who has gums that are sensitive and every single time they brush their teeth, the gums bleed. There's no heter to brush teeth on Shabbos because that's a secretion that you can brush your teeth and your gums without. Someone who has regular bleeding from the gums is out. Someone whose gums do not bleed on a regular basis, either never or just irregularly, so then it's a double shame miscovered. Brush gently and expect it not to happen. If it happens, it's happened like everything else, where if it's not certain it's going to happen, so it's a double shame miscovered and secretion. The second issue is that the toothbrush has bristles, and between the bristles the water is absorbed. And when you use it, the water that's absorbed between the bristles is going to come out, and you're going to have a problem of schita. So one of the simplest ways to get around that is to buy a Shabbos toothbrush. They sell toothbrushes on the market that come with bristles that you couldn't exactly call them bristles. They're like silicone heads. It's very similar to a today the brushes that you use to paint your challis with the egg on it after you make your challis. So once upon a time it looked like a paintbrush with hairs. Now they make silicone brushes. So it's something similar to a silicone brush where the actual individual fibers are very, very thick. But for a toothbrush, they're not as long as and as pliable. They use very stiff ones, but it comes with a very stiff head. But it's like six little like silicone rubber knobs at the top that do the brushing. Comes with a, as someone pointed out to me, when you buy it, don't take it into the bathroom until you've unpacked it. It comes with an instruction booklet that is a safer on its own.
Where did you buy that?
I don't know right now. I know someone who has one was asking me bought them. I imagine they probably have them in pharmacies or perhaps even in hardware stores that have these tablets. He saw an ad before one. So that takes care of the schita problem. And the third problem is memareach, is the smearing of the toothpaste. The paste, again, as we started off today, the moment you go smearing, you've got a problem. So toothpaste is a problem. Now, there are different levels of machlokes in Abiyah, how to deal with a toothbrush and toothbrush. And Lemaisa Rav Neuvid writes, Noyagi, the minig is not to brush teeth on Shabbos, even without toothpaste. He stops there. He doesn't really go into it, but there's a lot of tzad to be mako if you use your toothbrush without applying water first. You use a toothbrush when it's dry, so you don't have schita, and you use your toothbrush without any toothpaste. So if you brush your teeth with a dry toothbrush, and you are the type of person who's not going to worry about bleeding gums, then the chari you get past these problems. But as I said, it's a discussion on its own. The Shmir Shabbos top part says noyagim not to brush teeth. At the bottom, he brings all the tshuvas this way, that way. If you feel you need to brush your teeth, so then lefachot to do it with a dry toothbrush without toothpaste. And one thing everybody agrees with is that after you've brushed your teeth, even if you've used a dry toothbrush, so now the toothbrush has saliva in it, do not rinse the toothbrush out, because that is now preparing it for tomorrow. So maybe if you're going to brush your teeth three times in Shabbos, then maybe the first and the second time you wash it for the third time, but then again, you have to be careful how you wash it. You don't come to shake out or squeeze out the liquid that's caught between the bristles. So best is not, if you're going to be using a dry toothbrush, not to shake it out. There is an opinion, I'll just mention it for the sake of need to know, b'shas tzchak, that there is an opinion that holds a wet toothbrush as well, and not an accepted opinion, but one should know that it isn't. To use a toothpick is no problem on Shabbos. Obviously, again, not in a way that's going to for sure cause bleeding. Otherwise, using a toothpick on Shabbos is fine. If you don't have a toothpick, you can even take a piece of wood or something and use it as a toothpick. What you just have to watch out for is that you don't sharpen that piece of wood on Shabbos. So you can actually take a match. A match is a kli shemelachta le'isur. A kli shemelachta le'isur is mukta, and you can't use it unless it's targufa mukayma. But here it's targufa. I need the match because I don't have anything else. I can actually take the back of a match and use it as a toothpick. But the back of a match is not as sharp as a toothpick, so if you're careful not to sharpen it, that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Using mouthwash on Shabbos is not a problem. There's actually a machlokes in the halacha exactly how to deal with it. But lemaisa, we come up that the minhag is to be makel, that one can use mouthwash on Shabbos. There is a mouthwash that's sold here in Eretz Yisrael, what it's called, which is essentially a very concentrated solution. And you have to dilute it, and then you do the mouth, you rinse your mouth out with the dilution. That is a problem to do on Shabbos, because it's molid reach, because there is chomrei tam bereach, there are additives added to the mouthwash to give it smell, and that now when you put into the water to make the dilution, you're adding that smell into the water, and therefore it's preferable not to do it. And if you're going to be using this mouthwash that needs dilution, the dilution should be done before Shabbos. One may not weigh oneself on Shabbos, even if one has a manual scale. It's not a question of the digital or the manual scale. It's a question of medida on Shabbos. Measuring on Shabbos is asur, and this is for Dvar Mitzvah. It's the Issa Durabonon, so therefore in certain cases it will be mutter. But generally speaking, weighing oneself, measuring oneself, finding out how tall you are, and all the rest will be asur on Shabbos. If a mother needs to know how much her child weighs because she needs to know whether the child has nursed enough, then that would be a different story than on a manual scale. It can be done because that would be necessary. Exercise on Shabbos is asur because exercise is considered as refuah. taking a massage or going for home physiotherapy are all forms exercise which are asur. To use an exercise machine is asur on Shabbos. What's mutar on Shabbos is to do stam movements. If you have pain and stiffness, you stretch and you do something, very simple movements that are not considered heavy exercise, and develop a sweat or put your heartbeat up, or pulse, quickens the pulse, etc. So just movements and something like that, even though it's a type of exercise, but a simple exercise would be mutar on Shabbos. One may lie in the sun for the sake of enjoyment, even if as a result one might get tanned. One must watch out that sunscreen on, because again you've got a problem of memoreach. I imagine, I actually didn't see you discuss it, if you have the spray sunscreen that doesn't need smearing, could be, no, it says not. You can't even use the spray one. Probably because it's a refuah, it protects the skin from the ultraviolet rays and keeps it moist, and therefore that's considered refuah, and therefore putting on sunscreen even without smearing in would be a problem with Shabbos. And if a person goes into the sun for health reasons, because the doctor says he's short of vitamin D or something like that, and he needs to go in the sun, that would be asur. If you have a child who's yellow, and the doctor tells you the sun is good for his bilirubin count, so again, that would go back to dealing with a child, and the child would have a refuah, we're going to be much more maker, would be mutter if you had a baby. But for an adult, generally speaking, unless the doctor says it's close to life-threatening, one may not go into the sun for the sake of refuah, but otherwise one will. And just one more halacha for today, and that is earplugs. Earplugs may be used on Shabbos. I'm not taking into account any of the Shalom Bais issues that come up as a result of the earplugs. But from the point of view of Shabbos, you can stick an earplug in your ear if it helps you sleep or avoid snoring, etc., etc. Happen to have residence near the Ayalon Park and need to go to sleep before the occupants of the park tend to end their nightly activities, and you need the help of earplugs, one may use earplugs in Shabbos. Now the question is, are all types of earplugs permissible or not? And Shlomo Zalman says yes. He says even the wax ones, which are molded, and you roll them into shape, and you put them in the ear, and they fill up the whole cavity, and then they take on the shape of the ear. He says it's not a problem of bucket partition, it's not a problem of mareach. You're not smoothing it out, you're pushing it into a shape, and it's not a makabe patish because this is the way it's supposed to be used. If you take it out and squeeze into a ball and you push it back in again. However, he is the chokin on him, and some say that it is better not to use the wax ones which take on the shape, but rather to use foam ones or plastic ones, which don't need molding, and just you squeeze them slightly, put them in and expand to the hole and block up the ears, and hopefully you have a good night's sleep. So that's the denim on earplugs. That takes us to the end of that section. I take leave of it now. So we wish you all a fantastic day and a good week, good Hanukkah, and unless people tell me otherwise, Mitzvah Hashem, next week there will be a Shia on the morning, and we will be back to our regular 9:30 slot.
Okay, thank you.
Wishing everybody a good day.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.